You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Intergenerational Climate Ambassadors have published an open letter on Action Station calling on MPs to implement a climate-resilient Cyclone Gabrielle recovery. The letter highlights the need for participatory democracy, listening to Indigenous voices, and land use planning as key ways to address the climate crisis. For Get Action this week, I interviewed Sophie Hanford, councillor, activist, and member of the Intergenerational Climate Ambassadors, on why she helped write the open letter. The open letter is calling for a climate-resilient recovery. What does that look like to you?
So it essentially looks like investing in a better future and not a bigger failure. So recognising that although Cyclone Gabrielle has obviously caused us huge, huge challenges, and it's very much a manifestation of a bigger challenge, which is the climate crisis and reducing emissions, that it also does, however, present an opportunity to build back better. And so it looks like I'm thinking about what we're building and where we're building it. It looks like too through our kind of adaptation and our response to crises like Cyclone Gabrielle in their kind of own in their own magnitude, that we bake in the mitigation of emissions and the accountability to reducing those emissions. It looks like participatory democracy, so making sure that we have opportunities and mechanisms for the incorporation of views of our public, and especially of mana whenua, and making sure that through our response and through what has been a really challenging time for so many whānau and for communities, that actually we can build back more resilient through centering what's most needed and the solutions that are held within those communities, especially on marae and within whānau who have understood how to live alongside and with the land for generations. Land use planning is crucial, so using land use using land use planning and strategizing again, what and where we build and how we kind of catalyse, I guess, the use of different transport networks in different ways. So looking at, you know, free public transport, at public transport more broadly, looking at active modes of transport and how we build back better in terms of connecting our housing with amenities and doing that in a way that is low emissions. And also the baking in of community resilience is really crucial. So it's kind of like a very multifaceted approach, I guess, to looking at how we rebuild, instead of that rebuild just being super focused on infrastructure in the short term, that it's a longer term and more holistic approach to building communities that will be able to both stand up in terms of our emissions needing to be reduced urgently, and that's kind of the number one priority, but also in the face of an event like this, that they can be stronger.
So why this kind of holistic climate resilient recovery so important?
So if we think about how our communities are being hit now, and obviously the climate crisis is very much in our midst, it's not a future problem. Emissions are the highest that they've been. We've seen though over the last year that they've started to taper down. But again, we can't afford to let the climate crisis continue to kind of run away on us. And if we do, it's a treadmill that we won't be able to get off, and the future that will be running towards is not one that we'll feel proud to pass on, with, you know, rising temperatures, rising sea levels, inundation of our communities. And so a climate resilient response is not only important because of what it puts at stake in terms of the natural world and the environment, which we're already seeing be degraded, but it's also important in terms of us as people and as communities, because, the climate crisis puts at risk, you know, the lives of our next generation, but also the lives of people now. And we saw that with Cyclone Gabrielle. So it's really important because, if we just reduce emissions but don't center that kind of human and kind of animal and nature risk, but also opportunity, then, there's the potential, I guess, to not capitalize on the opportunities that are presented, instead of just responding to the immediate risk and potential for damage. So I think it helps us to frame it in a way that allows us to kind of get the best out of what is a pretty tough and can often be quite an overwhelming situation considering the scale of the climate crisis.
I mean, the scale of the climate crisis is huge. So why don't you think there is enough currently happening to move us into a direction of climate resilient recovery?
Yeah, great question. I think, again, when we look at the kind of approach that central government is taking currently, which is very much in line with global science, which obviously we appreciate that at least there's recognition of the fact that emissions need to be reduced by around 50% by 2030, and then we need to get to net zero by 2050. But there's an opportunity to go further and faster if we truly, I think, were to step into our responsibilities, both our Pacific Island neighbours who are experiencing the impacts of climate change every single day, and that's just their reality. They're having to live with it, but they're choosing not to drown but to fight. And so we have to, I think, fight alongside them and to think about how much resilience, you know, is being shown by communities who are on the front lines right now. And again, if we think about Cyclone Gabrielle, how much resilience was shown by the communities who were right in amongst that damage. So, I think that there is a focus right now on just keeping in line with that science and just reducing emissions kind of at a steady pace so that we can hopefully reach net zero by 2050. But there's way more opportunity, I think, to use our solutions to develop a really equitable, just Aotearoa, and also one that fulfills its obligations to the Pacific. And at the moment, it doesn't feel like the language nor the action is there to support that in a really transformational way. I still feel like we're kind of, tinkering around the edges a little bit.
So you're both a councillor and an activist. What do you think the role of being inside local government is versus the role of being an activist is in pushing for climate action?
It's almost one and the same, I feel like, to be honest. Like, my role around the council table, I'm still that activist, and that's my community's given me the mandate to do just that, because I stood on a platform of climate justice and of the opportunities that the climate crisis presents for us to take the kind of action that will make our communities more resilient, and that's something we have to do right now. Otherwise, otherwise we risk this kind of runaway climate breakdown, which we just can't afford to see. So I think there's a real role, though, for having people who continue to provide that really strong mandate for our councils and central government to take the kind of action that I think quite a few people within those systems and those structures really want to take, but sometimes don't have the courage, or there's like a nagging fear of not being re-elected that holds them back, or they just have to satisfy as many voices, or they think that they have to satisfy as many voices as possible. So providing that strong mandate is really, really crucial. And I think there's also a role for people in council roles to take some of these solutions really seriously, and to not just put them on the back burner because climate change to them may be a future problem. For example, land use planning, that's something that's been mandated somewhat by central government through the need to consider how our communities are growing, and also how we support that with housing that is both situated in places that enable low carbon communities, but also centre the need for us to be resilient in the face of sea level rise and coastal erosion. But it's actually local government, I think, which in that specific space hasn't been kind of bold enough or courageous enough to kind of meet some of those challenges that central government is calling on us to make happen and to respond to. So there is kind of a tension somewhat, but I definitely think local councils need to step up for sure and have a role to play in enacting a lot of this stuff. Because if we want to also enable citizens assemblies, you know, participatory democracy, local government is quite ably placed to be kind of the responder to that and the enactor of some of those ideas and solutions that come forward as a result. So, I think they play a really, really key role in there as well.
That was Sophie Hanford on a climate resilient recovery to Cyclone Gabrielle. The open letter can be signed on Action Station.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.